Welcome to everyone listening all around the world, all across the United States. We're coming to you live from the great hall of knowledge that is the Coast to Coast AM studios right here in Los Angeles, California. Sitting in for George Norrie on this Friday night, I'm your host, Jimmy Church. And now, check this out. As we get settled in here, yeah, you get it. The lights are down. The studio is dark. I want all of you to get comfortable tonight because it's going to be one of those nights. But I want something to be very clear here. Every broadcast that I do, which includes right here at Coast to Coast, I treat everything as an event. I don't phone it in, folks. I don't do it. Every one of these nights is special. I have been a student of ufology, conspiracy theory, and lost history for most of my life. And I've had the honor of interviewing most of those great researchers and authors and experiencers that I've studied over the years. And some of them have caused a sensation. Some have raised a few eyebrows. Some have forced questions to be asked. Which brings me to my guest tonight, Corey Good. In very short order, over the last couple of years, Corey has developed a very large and devoted base of followers, knowledge seekers, that is bordering on obsession, something that has grown into an almost rock star status. And I say that not to embarrass him or to question him. That's not what I do, and that's not how I see it. I want you to understand something. I introduced Corey, and I've done this a few times over the years, but I introduced Corey this past weekend at the Conscious Life Expo right here in Los Angeles to a packed hall. And after I walked off the stage and headed to the back of the room, off to my right, I passed one author and researcher after another leaning against the wall, there to listen. It reminded me of like Hollywood on the Sunset Strip back in the 80s, right? These guitar players would go to see Eddie Van Halen or Randy Rhoads play at these bars, and they would lean against the back walls with their arms crossed and wanting to be impressed, right? They're there to hear about the man or the myth. And that's what it was like this past weekend. That's what it has developed into. They were there to hear Corey's presentation. This is his world today, and I want to drive this home. I want you to understand where I'm coming from. People want to hear his message, his information. And tonight, so will you. The Coast audience, this is an event. My guest tonight is Corey Good. You can follow me right now on Twitter, at J Church Radio. That's what you want to do, at J Church Radio. Why? Twitter is always live to my left. It's live right now. And any questions or comments during the show tonight that you may have for Corey, I'm going to get it right there. And if you're lucky, you never know. Might get right on the air, right? Well, it's Friday, which means we've got open lines, and maybe we'll even talk Corey into manning the phones with me. We'll see if I have any luck with that. Sitting in for George Norrie, I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Tomorrow night, my guests are going to be Jim Mars and Gavin Kelly. You're not going to want to miss that. But tonight, it's about Corey Good. And I'll be right back with Corey after this short break. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, sitting in for George Norrie tonight. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. I want to remind everybody that tomorrow night, Jim Mars is going to be here and Gavin Kelly. And it's going to be a great show. Stick around. Don't miss that tomorrow night. I'll be here all weekend. But tonight, it's about Corey Good. Corey Good was identified as an intuitive empath, an IE with precog abilities. He was recruited through one of the MyLab programs at the young age of 6. Corey trained and served in the MyLab program from 1976 to 1986-87, and then towards the end of that time as a MyLab, he was assigned to an IE support role for a rotating Earth delegate seat, which was shared by secret Earth government groups in a human-type ET Super Federation Council. Today, he has a group of contacts, whistleblowers, information. He is in constant contact with, and shall I say, sources with information that needs to get back to you, myself, the Coast audience, and the world today. That is his role. It's an intense one. And tonight we're going to do just that. And I would like to welcome back to Coast, Corey Good. Corey, good evening. How are you, man?
Doing well. Thank you.
Corey, normally, you know, I would say, hey, how you doing? But, you know, you just had your birthday and we hung out a couple of weeks ago here in Los Angeles. You look good. The crowds were big. And so I just want to start here, if I may. Do you feel pressure, right, that you are now in this, like, rock star status role? And you know what I'm talking about. You know, the audiences are there, and they're large, and they're there to hang on your every word. Do you feel that pressure now? Are you cautious about what you say and how you say it?
Absolutely. It's a pretty big responsibility to have that many people's ears. So, yeah, I try to be very careful, you know, what I say, how I behave, because it's pretty strange for an introvert like me to have this many people listening to what I have to say.
And you, yeah. And that's something that I actually want the audience to understand about you. In that you're not the guy that would be the lead singer of a band, right? That's not your personality, but that is certainly the role that you're thrust into now. How comfortable are you getting in that role? Because I remember last year when this started to roll out for you, you were nervous and apprehensive about everything, but that's where you are today. Are you getting more comfortable in that position?
I am. I'm definitely getting more comfortable in front of the camera. In front of live audiences, I'm still a little, you know, there's still a little bit of nervousness in my voice when I first get started, so.
Well, the audience definitely wants you to be comfortable. They're certainly not quiet, right? and I witnessed it this past weekend. And the other thing that I want the audience to be aware of, because unless you're in our circles, you don't know this, you don't witness this, but very rarely at these conferences do I see other researchers going to see other researchers speak, right? They leave that to the audience. But for you, as I left, everybody that was there to speak at Conscious Life was there to see you speak. Were you aware of that? Were you aware of who was sitting in front of you? I don't want to freak you out, but that's pretty interesting to see that.
No, actually, a couple of them said something to me afterwards, and I was surprised. I did not know that so many of my peers were in the room.
Yeah, and they were. And you made me proud. It was very interesting to see the audience sit in silence like that and listen to everything, because the way that you do your presentation is it's full of information and slides, and it's back to back to back, and it's very comprehensive. And they were there, man. They were students. And again, when you reveal that kind of information, do you have the audience members come up and maybe question what you are saying? Do they come up and second guess you, or is it just on the believability side and they are just listening to everything?
You know, for a lot of the people have been listening to me for a couple years now and believe me, but I do still have plenty of people that come up to me afterwards and say, I can't believe a word that you're saying, but it's a great story. I love it. And the biggest part of the story is this blue avian message, which, you know, is for people to, you know, deal with their karma, to move through all their karma, and to forgive themselves and forgive others, and, you know, to move on with their lives. And a lot of people are ready to do that right now, and they think that they have to change their religion or belief systems to do it, when, you know, that's not the case. We just have to do the work.
Right. And also, and I know that this goes on a lot now, people study your body language, and they're trying to figure out if you're making this up on the fly. You know exactly what I'm talking about here. I'm not creating.
Reverse speech. Yeah, they do reverse speech. I had a huge response to a video that someone did on body language to see if, you know, I was consciously being misleading.
Well, and myself included, by the way, right?
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
As you know, I've sat next to you through your presentations right there on the side of the stage. I've done that. and I'm watching you, and I want you to trip up. I do, right? I just want to go, okay, all right, this, I can relax now. But I haven't been able to do that, and neither has the audience. And I think everybody is searching for that with you. How do you deal with that kind of pressure? I mean, it's got to come at you all day long, whether this is some fantastical journey, you've been misleading everybody, or it's the other side where this is potentially the biggest news in human history, right? But there's no gray area in the middle, is there?
Right. Well, you know, it is the biggest news in human history, but the way it's slowly being rolled out, it is nothing but a gray area. I'm not being put in a position to where I can come back with photos or video of some of the stuff, especially like what's going on in Antarctica.
Right.
Apparently there are pretty high-level professors and other academics that have been going down to Antarctica and studying a lot of these ruins that they have found for over 12 years. So these people do deserve to be in the limelight when this information is exposed to the public.
Well, let me ask you right there. Let me stay right there. The one question that comes up constantly is, can Corey just give us that one little thing, right? That little piece of something, whether it's a photograph or a video or a piece of evidence or something physical. Will there ever be a photograph or a video or some physical piece of evidence that you will be able to bring forward?
I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to present some information when it's time for the information to be released. But for the most part, it appears as though all of these academics that have been doing these studies are going to get the full limelight.
How so?
Well, they're going to be, at a certain point, there's going to be announcements to the public about, you know, we found an ancient human civilization in Antarctica, and we've been studying it for 12 years. Here are these 12, 17 different academics that have been doing the work. They will now give you a presentation, and there will be a number of documentaries that they have shot over the 12 years.
Who is in control of this disclosure and the drip, drip, drip of information? Is it the Blue Avians? Is it ET? Is it Offworld? Or is it Washington? Or is it the whistleblowers themselves? Who's in control of on how this is being rolled out?
Well, a lot of people see the cabal or the Illuminati as this, you know, very organized group with a leader, but it's really kind of a committee of loose-knit syndicates, and they have been losing power for some time, and they've been in negotiations with a group that we are calling the Earth Alliance. The Earth Alliance are a bunch of nations on Earth that got tired of the bully tactics of the Illuminati and are now fighting against them. So both of these groups have been deciding on how to unfold disclosure and how much of a disclosure to give. That's been a negotiation that's been going on for some time. Unfortunately, all the groups agree that they think that we can't handle the truth. So they're planning on unrolling it to us in a slow, controlled manner instead of just giving us a data dump in a full disclosure type of event, which is what we're working towards as a group.
As we get to some of this information tonight, is this information that is given to you to relay to us, or is this information that you have firsthand?
Most of this information is information that's being related to me in briefings. Some of the information is firsthand. That information I'll report in a firsthand manner.
Such as,
I was recently brought down to Antarctica on a quick trip to where they were taking genetic samples off of some of these very strange, long, spindly bodies that were 12 to 14 feet tall that they're calling the pre-Adamites, a group that was here on the Earth genetically engineering humanity before, I guess, the historical Adam. That's why they call them pre-Adamites.
Right.
So I was there for that, and they removed some scrolls from a library that was covered in ice while it looked like a Corps of Army Engineers group about a football field away who were excavating using pressurized steam to remove the ice from around all of these ruins.
Before we get to that, when was this trip?
It was in January, the beginning of January.
Beginning of January. How long were you down there?
It probably was no more than 35, 40 minutes.
35, 40 minutes. Do you have any idea? Do you have any idea what part of Antarctica you were in?
Yes, it was under the Ross Ice Shelf.
Okay. And you were there for 30 or 40 minutes, and was it a presentation for you? How did that happen, and what did you see?
No, I was brought in on one of these egg-shaped craft that this group called the Anshar operates.
Right.
They're a group that they have enclaves inside the Earth pretty deep. So they were bringing myself and Gonzalez to this one dig location to, they wanted us to witness them going in and taking these scrolls. Gonzalez was there with a military type rucksack that had items in it. And among those items was looked like a kind of a core sampler for taking genetic samples from these different bodies.
Well, like test tubes and stuff like that.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I got you. Okay, what was these scrolls? Tell me about those. And was it anything that you recognized? You know, the writings, was it earthbound or was it ET? What did they say?
Well, they were very large, obviously scrolls that these 12 to 14 foot tall beings were using. And they were they were a rolled up metal. They had a sound kind of like tin when they were being picked up. And one of the flaps opened up, and I saw it looked like laser carving of little symbols on metal. And I did not recognize the symbols.
And were these being retrieved as evidence? Is this something that we're going to see, you know, in the future?
These were being retrieved before this library was to be excavated. It was still covered in ice,
right,
for the most part. So they were removing these scrolls before the military industrial complex was able to excavate them. So I don't know what that was on them, what their significance was, but it was important enough for them to plan a trip.
You sent me some images a couple of months ago or a month ago, and one of them was a drawing of a square cut in the ice, you know, an archaeological type of dig.
Right.
How deep under the ground was that? And was that exactly what you saw?
It was very close to what I saw. There were still like green palm tree looking plants that were being exposed as they were spraying the pressurized steam.
Right.
They were bringing up animals that were from before the last ice age that were also preserved. They were cataloging all types of artifacts that they were finding and spreading them out on the ground. Now, when I say the ground, this is about close to 2,000 feet underneath the surface of the ice shelf in a huge cavernous ice pocket.
Right.
So, and geothermal heat is what created these huge ice pockets. That were like caverns, and it's inside of those, down at the ground level, 2,000 feet below the ice shelf, that they're doing these excavations.
Interesting. And so when you say the excavations are going on, is that us? Who is that a secret government body, or is that the United States down there doing these excavations? And what's curious to me, we're going to head towards a break right now, so you can say if it's us or them, but if this is going on, certainly we have an entrance to get down there, don't we? And we know where these entrances are.
Yes, we definitely have those entrances, and right now it's sort of kind of a UN kind of operation, but these ruins were discovered in the 1938-39 Nazi expedition down to Antarctica.
So okay, well, let me jump in right there. We're going to take a break, Corey. So we're going to pick up right there when we come back. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, sitting in for George Noran this Friday night. Stick around. We're going to have open lines in just a bit. We'll be right back with Corey Good. Stay with us. All right, welcome back. Are you a Coast Insider? I'm a Coast Insider. And you can sign up to be a Coast Insider and listen to the show live. You can listen to it on demand with your computer, your mobile device. It just doesn't matter. All audio streams are delivered in high-quality, crystal-clear audio. Your benefits include you get the last 5 years of audio archives. You get audio streaming or downloadable MP3s of show archives. You get media access through the website or a mobile app. You can chat with hosts and special guests. You get an iTunes podcast. It's all right there. And you even get a direct email to George, all for just 15 cents a day. Just go to coasttocoastam.com, Coast Insider. It's right there. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. More with Corey Good, our guest, and what is going on in Antarctica right after this short break. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast. I'm sitting in for George Norrie tonight. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest tonight is Corey Good. And Corey, we are discussing Antarctica and some of the events that are unfolding right now in front of us. Some of it has made it into the media. Corey, with Buzz Aldrin and John Kerry and religious factions out of Europe that have made it down to Antarctica, why now? What is going on down there, and what is it that they need to see?
Well, we've jokingly called this an Illuminati Disneyland for the last several months. David Wilcock and I have. These different people with different positions within the current structure are being brought down there and shown the ruins, ancient ruins, but also they're being shown the ruins of three massive ships that are very ancient and below the ice. And apparently these three ships had brought these pre-Adamites here in a crash landing kind of scenario. And jokingly, they call these three ships the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. Some of the information has stated that these craft are 30 miles across. My most recent information is that one of them is very large, nowhere near 30 miles across, but one of them is very large and two others are close to being the same size, but not quite the same shape.
What about the timing of this? I mean, why now, Corey? Is it because, you know, we have global warming and the ice is melting and they were going to be exposed anyway? You know, why now?
Well, it's being set up as a mass distraction kind of a scenario. You know, more and more evidence is pointing towards, you know, a lot of these human traffickers and crazy people that use the money system in the way they do. These people are finally about to be brought down. There are secret grand juries that have been convened that are ongoing right now. So, these cabal groups, they need a big distraction. And what would be a bigger distraction than finding out that there is a civilization that is under the ice from before the last ice age? That would blow everyone's minds and distract us heavily.
So what you're suggesting, I want to understand what's going on. So to distract from the issues that the Illuminati or the cabal or the shadow government, you know, those puppet masters that they are about to have as a distraction away from that, to have this massive discovery down in Antarctica take over the media so it would soften the blow on what's actually about to go down with them. Am I understanding you correctly?
It sounds like you've got it, yes. And it's amazing how they plan on unrolling all of this information. They've had the scientists down in a certain dig excavation point down in Antarctica. They've been removing any non-human type of artifacts or bodies, and they're planning on releasing the information as if this was just a human society in the beginning that was discovered that, 12,800 years ago was covered in ice. What they plan on doing then is a little bit later on announcing one of our secret space programs that the military-industrial complex has. It's an Air Force, DIA, NSA type program that's in low Earth orbit. They plan on announcing this space program. And it's fairly advanced. It's not the most advanced one we have. And after they announce that, there'll be more shock. And they'll say, oh, by the way, this same secret space program, as they've been flying through the solar system, they've been finding ancient ruins that are very similar to what we found in Antarctica. And furthermore, we have found non-human bodies in Antarctica after we've continued our dig. So they plan on just stringing things out and giving us a drip-drip disclosure as a constant way of distracting us. And also, a lot of these Illuminati people, they trace their bloodlines back to this pre-Adamite group. They want us to see this pre-Adamite group as gods, and they want us to see them as sons of gods. And they want us to, you know, put them up on a pedestal, which, you know, there's no way we're going to do.
It seems that every week we get an announcement about radio signals being observed, or another exoplanet, or some alien megastructure out there, more planets, more exoplanets. It's a constant alien contact news press clipping week after week after week. Is all of this connected? And is this part of what is going on in Antarctica with its release?
Yeah, all of this is all part of an acclimation project to slowly acclimate us to this information, because they literally believe that if we were to find out about non-humans, extraterrestrials, that we would just fall apart, and you know, people would stop eating, they would stop taking their medicine, they would stop spending money in the monetary system. You know, they're afraid. Or that's their excuse anyway. They're afraid that, you know, society would fall. That's why they don't tell us the truth.
Well, we have had so many press releases. We had one big press conference with NASA just 2 days ago. And the more of these that do occur, I would be afraid of the one big announcement that it would just be, oh, whatever, you know, we were expecting this because of the barrage that we have had. Is that part of the plan? Because that's what the way I feel this is being laid out.
Yeah, I mean, it's being spoon-fed to us in a way that they feel like they can form the way we think about the information. So it's a big part of mind control as well. They're controlling what we perceive, how and when we perceive it. And they're having a lot of problems controlling how we perceive things recently, with so many people beginning to wake up.
So this is part of the prep of for something, whether it's Antarctica, the Cabal, the secret space program, life on other planets.
Yes, they've been acclimating us since, you know, the 50s and 60s. It's a long game for them.
Now, you mentioned earlier, I want to get back to this. You said that you just went to Antarctica back in January and you were transported in an egg.
In a craft shaped like an egg.
I'm thinking Mork from Ork, yes. Almost, right?
No, yes.
Yes, okay. I'm not making light of it, but did they pick you up at your house? Did your neighbors see anything? Or was this at a secret location? Of course, somebody's going to ask, why didn't somebody see this egg? You know, so how were you transported down there?
Well, I was teleported down to this large hangar in the inner Earth where these other people were waiting for me. And it was quickly explained where we were going to go, not a whole lot of time to prep, and then we were off. Now, there have been a number of craft that have landed around my house, and they're doing it less and less because it attracts a lot of attention.
Okay, well, the obvious question is, does your family know about this? Have they seen this happen? Have they witnessed any of this activity?
They've witnessed a little bit of the activity, but I pretty much leave my family out. I don't want to, direct their narrative for the future. You know, if they want to talk about things, I would like them to come out and talk about it. I don't want to put them on the stage.
Well, sure. And your kids must come into your wife, right, and go, okay, where's Dad? Well, he's down in Antarctica. He cruised down in an egg. Is it is it like that? And I'm not making light of this. This is an obvious question here.
Yeah, you know, when this first started to occur, my wife, she didn't quite know what to think. Of course, I mean, it's kind of a interesting thing. All of a sudden, your husband's telling you that people are picking up him up in craft in the backyard. But she started going out and, you know, looking and saw footprints, bare footprints going in the mud and then disappearing in the middle of the yard. And then about 20 or 30 feet over the feet, the footprints beginning again, walking back towards the house. And, and she started seeing that stuff. She started to raise her eyebrows a little bit. And then, you know, she was, witness to some small things that, let her know that this was really occurring.
Right. And, you know, I'm watching Twitter right now, and I've got a bunch of pretty interesting questions coming up. And one of them, this is directly from an audience member. How does Corey know if this isn't a memory that was implanted inside of him and he believes it to be true, right? Or is this an actual event that actually happened? And I think that's an honest question for everybody out there. So how do you respond to that?
Yeah, I mean, these are actual events. You know, I'm coming back with dirt on the bottom of my feet. I'm having, other trace evidence that it's physically occurring. It's not, a mental, stream memory that was put in years ago. Plus, these are interactive experiences. There are other people that are having the experiences along with me, including, Gonzalez. And, there's been a few other people that have ended up being a part of this world that are connected to other whistleblowers. And that's why a lot of the information David Wilcock has been getting from his other whistleblowers has been exactly the same. So,
and there must be certain factions in the government that don't want you to be speaking about what you're speaking about. Obviously, there is a portion of that is allowing you to come forward, and certainly the Blue Avians want you to share a certain amount of this information, too, and you're authorized to do that. Why do you think you are able to continue to not only go on programs like this, but speak in public and be allowed to do this?
Well, once you reach a certain point of, notoriety or people knowing about your story, if they come and step on you, that's just going to legitimize the information that you're putting out. So they have basically focused on campaigns to discredit me or to hope that, someone comes along and that will have information that will be, more popular and will cause people to go to that information.
Right.
They don't really want, in the beginning I was getting a lot of, getting quite a bit of threats, going in the backyard, having laser dots on your chest, when I'm out with my child in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
I've had helicopters buzzing. I've had, warnings after warnings that, I should stop sharing certain information. But I was pushed on by the Secret Space Program Alliance and some of these other groups to keep pushing on that, everything will be fine.
Last month, you and I were talking, and you were telling me that you weren't feeling right, that you needed some rest. And you went out of the country, you came back, you did some taping, and the next thing you know, you wound up in the hospital. Tell us about that, and do you think that had something to do with trying to keep you silenced?
Yeah, I'm under a constant attack in a, psychic kind of way. So basically, all of the traveling I'd done had exhausted me. I wasn't eating properly, and it weakened me. And right at the end of shooting the last bit of Cosmic Disclosure at Gaia Television, I started feeling really weird, and I started coughing up this black, weird black stuff. And it lasted for a few days. When I flew home, I started having chest pains and all kinds of weird symptoms, and they rushed me to the hospital. And it turns out that most of it must have been some sort of reverse altitude sickness from all the traveling I was doing. But I was definitely in a weakened state, and it was pretty scary.
How did you get through it?
I don't go to the hospital. It's hard to get me to go to the hospital, so it was a situation that definitely got my family's attention.
Well, we've in our UFO circles, we always hear about the black goo, right? And yeah. when you had said that, I mean, did you start to wonder if it was the black goo?
I had actually seen the black goo in experiments that were done on the research vessel. I knew what it looked like, how it behaved. This was different. It was different. But it definitely got my attention when I was, you know, coughing up the black stuff. But it was not the black goo, but it was definitely not, I don't think it was organic, whatever my body was trying to get rid of.
Right, right. Well, I found it interesting. Did it intimidate you? I mean, and would something like that, a message like that, stop you from speaking?
I mean, I got a whole lot of life insurance on me recently because I was told that there's a good chance that, you know, this mission could end in that type of way. So I've kind of accepted that. I just put all of my energy and intent into my family being safe and my family being taken care of if something does happen. But for the most part, I really don't have any personal fear.
I wanted to get to a couple of quick questions really quick out of Twitter before we head to this break. An EM wants to know, have any of your family members ever seen the blue orb that transports you from your house to space?
I do not think that any of my family have seen the actual blue orb. My wife has wanted to see it. It's come into the room and zigzagged around, and I'll try to wake her up, and I'm shaking her, trying to wake her up, and she will not wake up. I don't know if it's throwing people into deep theta sleep or what, but it's almost impossible to wake someone up if they're not supposed to be a part of the scenario, I guess.
Robert wants to know if they listen to music in space or on the bases.
Absolutely. Yeah, they listen to music. The humans do. The non-humans have art. They have music. They have all the same social types of escapes that we have.
I was in I was hanging out with some of the attendees at the conference and talking to them in line about you. And this young guy comes up to me and he goes, "So, Jimmy, can you ask Corey?" And he gave me this list. He said, "I want to know, I've never heard this discussed, so I'm going to ask you now." He wants to know if the blue avians or any other ET species out there smoke. He wanted to know if they date, if there's sex going on out there. He gave me this long, he goes, all the pop culture stuff that we do as kids out there, is it going on? And did Corey participate in any of the stuff that we would normally do here on planet Earth? So there's the list. Smoke, dating, you know, did you guys do all of that? And does ET do that in the blue avians?
Yeah. Well, open flames on a spacecraft are a no-no.
Right.
Fire bad. Yeah, so, no, not a whole lot of, smoking and that kind of a thing. But there's definitely an R&R type period to where, you can play games, socialize more. But it's not the type of environment to where, you know, you're going to be kicking back, smoking cigarettes, having beers, you know, there's no alcohol.
Very interesting. And I knew it had to be that way. This is Coast to Coast AM. Our guest tonight is Corey Good. When we come back, we're going to continue the discussion on Antarctica, the blue avians, his recent information that he has gotten, and we're going to relay all of that back to you, the Coast audience. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM.